It's time for the Monday Waffle, a podcast dedicated to all things West Australian Football League. Your hosts Michael Stamp and Jack Davidson are joined by Tara Carlin, Bonnie Rayner, and Chatty De Heer with expert boundary riding information, analysis of last week's game, forecast of next week's game. Did you get your tips in? Did you get your tips out? What are you planning to do next weekend? If it involves West Australian footy, just make sure you start your week with the Monday Waffle.
Welcome to the penultimate Monday Waffle, the second last edition after the preliminary grand final and heading into the grand final. Today I am joined by Bonnie Rayner, Michael Stamp, Katie De Heer, and as always, I'm Jack Davidson. How are you guys?
Good, mate. It's glad that you're Jack.
I'm so glad you're always Jack Davidson. That is.
Never no one else.
But yeah, it's final, grand final week, and we're stoked.
How excited are we?
Two good teams that we thought that would make it.
We picked it from the beginning, didn't we?
Did we? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe from about 3 months ago.
Let's say we did.
We're pros. Yeah.
But well, yeah, really
Subiaco
excited.
Subiaco only just got there. I mean, we sort of thought they'd have it easier, but East Fremantle put up a good fight despite crooked kicking.
You guys are going to talk about it later, though.
That's right. And what are you two going to talk about, Katie and Michael?
We're going to put our team of the year forward. Now, the West did it last week, but we're going to put our team out there.
We're going to have the real pros talk about it. Is that what's going on?
Exactly. So we'll have that, and we'll have one of the Subiaco players from yesterday chat to us as well. And also talk about the grand final, of course, and Sandover. It's such a big show today.
Oh, absolutely. And are we going to have another brief talk about our original wooden spoon placements? Are we a bit...
Maybe next week? Maybe next week, Jack.
Maybe next week. All right, thanks for that, guys, and we'll catch you in a little bit.
It's Monday, so it's the Monday Waffle. Keep listening.
Subiaco versus the Sharks. 10-13-73 to 7-26-68. What a horrendous score, Bonnie.
26 points to East Fremantle. I mean, that is just outrageous. Look, they got 7 points in each of the quarters. How can you miss that many shots? It was great conditions. I understand, obviously, there's so much more pressure when it's finals, but when you are in a prelim, you've really got to convert those.
Yeah, you just got to be there to play. And, you know, maybe they were under stress.
So many missed opportunities. They had 10 more scoring shots than the Lions, and Subiaco were able to win off 23 to 33 scoring shots.
Yeah, it's crazy. Look, I did my own little bit of research, which I have in front of me if you have time.
Always.
Well, in the past, Subiaco and East Frio have lost the 2011 and 2012 grand finals, respectively. And after this clash, you know, Subi have just powered through. Can't be tamed. And Subi and East Frio met most recently 2 weeks ago, where Subi won by 25 points when they had nothing to gain from it. Both teams had nothing to gain. And so throughout the 2014 season, I found out that Subi are the best attacking side. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think Subi did so well considering how many outs they had. They had many late withdrawals for this game.
Yeah, they most certainly did. Like Horsley, Boland and George Hampson, all late withdrawals.
That's three of their biggest names.
I know, crazy. We'll get to that in a sec because they had an amazing...
superstar, Chris DeLuca.
Yeah, come through the ranks. But what I wanted to mention is both teams... Well, Subi obviously capitalised on it a bit more, but both teams have a really soft... Not soft. Both teams have a really lapsed third quarter. And, you know, if they don't take control of it, it rolls onto the fourth. And I think that's exactly what's happened with East Frio. They've got the points and they just haven't been able to change it into goals. They've got the ball. They've had control at, you know, different times, you know. The score's close. Who knows? Anyway, let's talk about Chris DeLuca.
What a superstar. So the Lions were without their best half forward, best midfielder and a full forward. And Chris DeLuca just carried the weight of the team. He was stretched off after a collision with Sam Reid. And he came back.
Had control at, you know, different times. You know.
So during the third quarter, he fiercely attacked a ball, collided with Sam Reid from East Fremantle.
What a superstar.
Came off second best. So the Lions were without their best half forward, best midfielder, and a full forward.
And made it back.
And Chris DeLuca just carried the weight of the team.
You could say
he was stretched off after a collision with Sam Reid. And he came back. So during the third quarter, he fiercely attacked a ball, collided with Sam Reid from East Fremantle. He came off second best and he was carried off the field in a stretcher, made a remarkable recovery and made it back onto the ground.
Miraculous.
Oh, you could say so. He only finished with 8 touches, but the influence he had and the way he brought his team up just was enough to get them over the line. He had 6 tackles, so great pressure from him, and 2 goals too. So 2 out of 10 goals for Subiaco came from him.
That's brilliant because, get this, East Frio had 10 more scoring shots, 16 more inside 50s, and only a 21% goal-kicking accuracy.
They made it hard for themselves. I mean, they won the third quarter, premiership quarter, as you're saying. Subiaco were lagging in that quarter. They both were. But they won that quarter by 4 goals.
But just couldn't maintain.
No, couldn't get over the line. Subiaco stayed strong. And now they face East Perth next week.
How exciting. What are your bets?
I think East Perth will be too strong.
They've got a good history in finals, East Perth. But I don't know. I
think they're hungry for it. I reckon they'll overrun Subiaco.
Subi are the underdogs coming here. You know, a few of the Monday Wafflers put them a bit further down the list than what they currently are on the ladder. But I reckon it's anyone's game.
East Perth do have a lot of inclusions, though, with the alignment. They're very lucky to be gifted with some Eagles players.
That's true.
Don't let Katie hear me say that. But no, Subiaco are missing some big names. They did get some big possession winners on the weekend, though. Wade Toomey, 36 disposals and 4 inside 50s. So that was great of him to step up, as Chris DeLuca did as well, despite not getting too many possessions, because they really are missing those 3 big names. I mean, Carl Horsley, he's been their best player.
Crazy.
He's even the skipper.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he'll cop a few mentions when Stampy and Katie come up to talk about their little segment.
I'm sure they will. Now, also, Chris Phelan came out with 27. Lockie Delahunty came out with 20 possessions. Sean Hildebrandt got 18 disposals despite being reported. So will we see him playing next week?
Depends on the
find
council,
out later today.
Exactly. So stay tuned for that one.
Judge rules. East Fremantle, big possession winners. Mark Mago, 27 disposals in his 100th game. Rory O'Brien racked up 26. Jamie McNamara had 24 and 6 inside 50s. So he was very influential there. Lots of big numbers for the East Fremantle players, but they just weren't able to get over the line.
Ah, it's a real shame. Anyway, I think we might handball it over to Katie and Michael.
See what you did there.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
A big win for Subiaco yesterday, defeating East Fremantle and going through to the grand final. One of their heroes yesterday was Wade Toomey. Congrats on the big win, Wade, and entering the grand final this year.
Yeah, thanks, Mickey, mate. Couldn't be any happier at the moment. Good to get into the big stage.
And what a game it was. Such an accurate kicking from East Fremantle. Yeah, just fantastic to get into another grand final for yourself.
Yeah, mate, this will be my third. So, I mean, you never take the foot off the pedal to get into a granny. It's an unbelievable feeling. I remember all three of them. I mean, I've lost one and won one, but all three of them are going to be great.
Now, your coach yesterday, Jared Schofield, he called you an old dog during the three-quarter time huddle. What are your thoughts about that? The old dog's still got a few tricks.
Yeah, no, me and Hilda have been running with the old dog thing for a while. I call him old boy, he calls me old dog. So, yeah, it's no surprises there. But I suppose I'd probably be the third or fourth oldest on the list. So as long as I can keep getting the job done, they can call me what they want.
Now, you had 36 touches, a few laid outs with Horsley and Boland and Hampson as well. Did your role change before the game or anything like that? You still played off the half-back flank?
No, it didn't affect me at all, no. It didn't affect me at all. It was a shame that they couldn't play, but, I mean, I'm thankful they didn't. Now they've got their body a week better, and they'll be looking forward to it in the GS.
And they should be all right to go on Sunday?
Yeah, all three will be good to go, yeah.
Now, the Sandover medal is tonight, Wade. Are you attending, and who do you think is the best chance for Subi this year?
I reckon Horsley's got to be pretty close to winning it. I mean, every game he played, I reckon he would average around 28 possessions, and I couldn't have seen many people taking votes off him. I mean, George will go okay as well. I think he's sort of that flashy player. He kicks his 4 and 5 and makes a bit of noise when he kicks a goal. So I think the umpires take a bit of note of that. But yeah, I reckon Horse has got to be a great chance. And no, I won't be going tonight, no.
So yeah, as you said, it's your third grand final. You lost, unfortunately, in 08 and won in 2010. This is your first with Subiaco. Anything different about this week for you or anything like that?
I suppose now being an older head, the first one, we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, I was in the same position as some of the kids are in now. We were coming in thinking we probably shouldn't even have been there. But this one, I mean, it's just taking the maturity into it and sort of just got guiding the younger fellas in and making sure they don't play the game in their head too early and then just come out there. I mean, a bit of nervous energy is really good, but as long as they don't overplay the game in their head, that's a big one.
And how were the guys feeling yesterday after the game? Were they pretty pumped up? And or was Jared Schofield just saying, look ahead to next week?
Pretty much, yeah. So everyone was up and about in the change room. It was a great feeling down there. But then Scully just sort of, look, guys, sort of keep a lid on it if we can. I know everyone's emotionally charged, but apart from that, we'll just worry about next week now.
Now, your co-tenants with East Perth, they're at Medibank Stadium. What's the plan in terms of training for this week, in terms of use of the oval? How much is a Subi training at Medibank, and will you get a run at Subi before the grand final?
I think we're going to go down to Subi on Thursday, but I don't know what's going to happen at the oval this week. We might have to put a big barricade down the centre of the oval. each team gets a half of oval each, so we can't see what each other are doing.
Knock you by each other's secrets.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Could be a bit awkward. Maybe there should be like a grand final parade down Leaderville or something.
Yeah, it could be quite fun.
Wade, good luck on the weekend, on Sunday, your third grand final. Katie here is a big East Perth fan, so she's going for a Royals, but I'm hoping the Subiaco Lions get up and you can play really well.
Fantastic, Mickey. Thanks, mate.
Hi, this is Basil Zemplis. Mondays, can't wait for Mondays to come around, because you know what that means. Online, there it is, my brand new edition of the Monday Waffle.
So it's the end of the year, and we have made a team of the year, myself and Katie, and we're going to reveal that now. A little bit of indecision in the pre-game for us, and some controversy, I think, wasn't there, Katie?
There was plenty of controversy. I didn't quite get my picks that I wanted up in the team, but that's all right. We'll
How many East Perth players did you initially have?
Oh,
it was about six or seven.
I think it was about seven.
Seven. It's been trimmed to
three. Yep.
Three. So we're going to go down the line. So we're going to start with the defenders, then the centre line, then the forwards, the followers, and then the interchange. And there's a couple of spots that we haven't actually decided on, so that'll cause some good entertainment. Let's start with the full back line. Our back line is Stephen Dodd from East Fremantle, Talon Ames at full back, and Andrew Stephen. You happy with that one?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy. I said about Darren Rumble from Subiaco. He was another choice I had, or Kyle Anderson from East Perth.
Yeah, I think what hurt Anderson, he played 12 games, just missed too many. While the likes of Stephen and Dodd played
all
games. So, and Stephen Dodd's retiring this year. So that's a good way to finish being now team of the year.
Good reward for a good few years.
And Talon Ames played really well in that rebuilding Swans team that made the finals, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. He did. He played very well.
So our halfback line, a couple of more Sharks in that line, isn't there?
There is, but one's a former East Perth player, I believe, there.
Yeah, Tommy Howlett, and one is a current East Perth player. So we got Nathan Blee on a half-back flank, Tommy Howlett at centre-half-back, and Brock O'Brien at the other half-back flank.
Some good choices.
Yeah, I'm happy with this line.
Happy with that one.
Brock O'Brien picked himself. Tommy Howlett, he's had a really good season, hasn't he? Holding down that centre-half-back spot for the Sharks, and you really liked Nathan Blee.
Yeah, I thought Nathan Blee's had a really good season. He played pretty much every game, I think, and I think he deserves that
position. His first season back at the Royals as
well? Yeah, first season back after coming back from Port Adelaide. Mm. So,
yeah, so that's our defence. We've got four Sharks, one Swan, and one Royal. Pretty happy with that.
Yep.
Let's move on to the centre line, and we didn't have any issues talking about this one, did we?
No, this one was very clean cut.
Take us through the centre line.
We've got Stephen Payne, East Perth, Luke Blackwell, Claremont, and Hayden Schloyth from South Fremantle.
I'm pretty happy with that.
No, that's a good lineup.
Stephen Payne, probably his best season so far, would you say?
Yeah, he was terrific this year.
I mean, with the likes of Wolf and Lee, and when Butler came back, Dom Sheed, he really just played really well in the wing, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and he racked up the possessions every week. He's such a hard runner, keeps going, and was very much deserves that spot. Luke Blackwell as well.
Luke Blackwell, 29 possessions a game. From, I think it was round 17 onwards, he averaged probably about 30-odd possessions a game. From round 17, his last six games where Claremont just dominated, 38 possessions, 37, 29, 230 games, and a 27 in round 23. So, and he's going to be polling very well tonight in the Sandover Medal, won't he?
Yeah, he will be. And Schloyth, our last pick there, he had an excellent season. I went to the South Fremantle game quite a few weeks back. He just was everywhere.
With the pink and blue boots.
Yeah.
And he won the South Fremantle Best and Fairest. So
he did, yeah.
I think that that centre line pretty much explains itself, and we might see Schleuth in the AFL next year.
Yeah.
Back in there?
Yeah, might do, yeah. He was, of course, with Fremantle a few years back, so. Yep.
We'll get on to the followers after the forward line, but this is where we got... we had a bit of controversy, and we had a bit of an argument before. Who actually made the half forward line? There was one player that pretty much picked himself, though, wasn't there?
Yeah. Well, we've got George Hampson from Subiaco.
And that was the one that we...
We didn't disagree on that one.
Yeah, we agreed there.
We've got... Boland from Subiaco.
Yep.
And Dalziel from East Fremantle.
Should we start with Boland?
Yeah, we can do.
Now, I thought him, because he kicked 53 goals this year, first season at Subiaco, and he just played really well, and we didn't actually know where all the goals would come from Subiaco. So, that's why I had him at centre-half forward. Who did you have at centre-half forward?
Well, I had the great man, Scotty Lysette. 6 games for the Royals this year, and he made my position of centre half forward, which I was disappointed that you didn't let me have him in there, Stampy.
Katie, you can't make a team of the year playing 6 games.
Well, he can he was excellent when he played for East Perth. Then
yeah, but he just played 6 games. I think that's the bit where he just didn't make it.
Well, it's a shame because...
Does he make the team? Maybe.
Maybe. I've still got a spot that I get to put someone in,
Maybe he will. And on the other half four flank, Brad Dalziel. And we were pretty... we agreed on this one, didn't we?
Yeah, I think, yeah, Dalziel has been fantastic all year.
27 touches a game, returning from the Eagles. And he kicked 22 goals. 22 goals, 17 this year. So even though he was a midfielder, he deserves to be on the half-forward flank.
Correct.
Cool. Forward line. Forward pocket, Ricky Davis. Sorry, why did I say Ricky Davis? Ricky Davis was a pretty mediocre player in the NBA in the mid-2000s. He rocked the cornrows for the Celtics and the Timberwolves and the Cavs. But anyway, that's enough of that.
He what? Rocked the cornrows?
Yeah, you know the cornrows?
Yeah, the hair.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Imagine seeing that in the AFL. Ooh. Ryan Davis from Swan Districts. He played really well. How many goals did he kick this season? 36 goals this season. And he played like that high half forward role going to the midfield, but played like a predominantly forward pocket in the second half of the season. So we like Ryan Davis in the forward pocket.
Yep.
Yep.
We did. Yep. We can't go past Big Benny Saunders.
Big Benny Saunders, the Bernie Naylor medal. You can't go past that. If you don't have the Bernie Naylor at full forward,
then you're going wrong somewhere if you don't have him wrong. In your team. So
59 goals for Ben Saunders. Great effort, and he's our full forward in our team of the year. And this spot, we haven't actually spoken about. Now, this is Katie's call.
Oh.
Who have you got in the forward pocket along with Ryan Davis and Ben Saunders?
Well, I'd like to put Scott Lysette, but I got so much heat on me for suggesting that before.
It's your pick, but you'll have an asterisk next to it.
Well, it depends on who you're going to go for your bench.
It's okay. You pick your forward pocket.
No, I'll stick with Scotty Lysette, I think.
Katie.
No.
Katie. Scott. No, I'll let you have it.
Oh, no, all right. I'll go back. We'll
say... we're going with Scott Lysette in the forward pocket, playing 6 games for the Royals this year.
Because you make me feel bad about that, so...
No, we'll look back on this in 10 years' time and go, that was just hilarious. And you can tell him this weekend.
When he's a super... No,
when
we'll
he's
say,
cheering
well,
on
I'll
the
change.
Who else are you thinking about?
Well, I was thinking Dean Cadwallader, but then you crucified me because he's only played 8 games.
Yeah, did he play forward pocket?
No, but we need the position to be filled.
What about a Ricky Carey, 49 goals, or Tim Gapin?
Oh, no, yeah, Tim Gapin.
Tim Gapin?
He was in my original forward line, so we'll go Tim Gapin.
40 goals for the Swan Districts, good season for him.
Yep, Tim Gapin, lock him in.
Tim Gapin in the forward pocket. Joining his teammate, Ryan Davis from Swans. So it's Davis, Saunders and Gapin.
Yep.
Alrighty. our followers. So our ruckman, who is our ruckman?
Well, Mark Seavey.
Easy decision there.
Terrific season.
Yeah, and there weren't too many ruckmen that had the consistency that he had, were there?
No, he was outstanding this year, and I hope he plays on, because,
Yeah, so do I. Our followers, Kyle Horsley and Rory O'Brien, pretty easy decisions there.
Yep, two standouts,
two standover medal favourites.
Yep.
Yep, Horsley averaging 26 a game, while O'Brien, he averaged 20, just about 29 possessions.
And if I get my tip right tonight, yeah, two standover medalists, so.
Yes, dual.
Could be, could be.
So, yeah, that we didn't have any troubles with that. Our midfield was pretty easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We didn't have any qualms about who would be in that lineup. So.
No. And so we got Seabee, Horsley, and Rory O'Brien in the midfield. Our interchange. It's full of midfielders, isn't it?
It is.
Who have we got?
We've got Craig Wolfe from East Perth.
Deservedly spot. Yes. Veteran. Really good season.
I'd say he's best season ever.
Yep, definitely.
And then we went Ashton Hams from South Freo.
Yeah, really happy with him. He had a good season. Could have had him on like a half-back flank or something, but no, good, solid veteran, and he should be happy with his season this year.
And this was your choice, the only West Perth player we had, Shane Nelson.
Yeah, I think he got overlooked a little bit this season. Like, because the Falcons didn't play that well, he didn't get as much attention, but from 20 games, he averaged 31 possessions a game, the most in the WAFL this year. So, pretty good pick from him. Who else could have we had in like that midfield spot? Brendan Jones? You had Brendan Jones?
Yeah, I didn't initially say Brendan Jones. I thought he was pretty good. Brendan Lee, did we end up putting him in?
Well, I've got my little spot as well.
Oh, so he could possibly make that one.
Do you want to know who I'm going with? I thought about Justin Simpson from Swans as a defender, but I think we need a bit of, you know, versatility in the team. An East Perth boy, you'll be happy with this. Big Callum Sinclair.
Ah, yes, good choice. So a few tools.
So he can come on, you know, he can play ruck, he can play forward, and I think he's played pretty well. He's only played the 14 games, but every game he's played has been really good, pretty influential. And we spoke to him about a month ago or so, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right.
And he was pretty happy with his form there, and he'll play pretty well in the weekend, hopefully in the grand final.
Now, that's a good choice, because we were, I think, probably looking a bit sort of...
Small?
A bit small. So, yeah, it's good to have that versatility.
Exactly. Who are the unlucky ones, do you think?
I said Blaine Wilson.
Yeah, I thought that as well.
I thought he had a good season down back.
Yep.
Kyle Anderson would have to be an unlucky one as well.
Yeah, maybe. Ricky Carey.
Yeah. 40. You thought he was... Yeah, his first season, first league season.
49 goals. Mm. I thought he had a really good season as a youngster. Brett Peake as well from East Fremantle. A nice half forward for the Sharks, kicking goals.
One for Peel Thunder, I said Brendan Jones.
Yeah. I thought he was really good as well. What about Jared Pickett?
Yeah, he had a good season.
He's my boy.
Hopefully he does well in the draft. So.
I've seen a mock draft. This is a bit off, but expect to go number 10 to West Coast. So that'd be good for... He can stay home as well.
Yeah.
All right, so we just go through our final team in the end. Just go through it all. Yep. We've got Stephen Dodd, Talon Ames, Andrew Stephen... In the back line, Nathan Blee, Tom Howlett, Brock O'Brien on the half back, Stephen Payne, Luke Blackwell, Hayden Schloyth in the centre line, George Hampson, Matthew Boland and Brad Dalziel on the half forward line, Ryan Davis, Ben Saunders and Tim Gapin in the full forward line, Mark Seabee in the ruck with Kyle Horsley and Rory O'Brien at his feet collecting all the hitouts, Craig Wolfe, Ashton Hams, Shane Nelson and Callum Sinclair on the bench. Pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good team.
Yeah.
Who's our coach?
I would say Ryan Dawson, but you said Jared Schofield you're going for?
Yeah, I thought Schofield, just because they finished 8th last year. He's taken them to a grand final in his second year as coach. Pretty good effort. But as you said, Dawson, you know, minor premiers by a mile. Favourite all year. Should we go with Dawson?
Oh, no, I'll let you have it. We'll go with Schofield.
We'll go with Schofield. Okay. And our captain. We haven't actually spoken about this.
I said,
who's our captain?
Rory O'Brien.
Oh, I'm with you on this one as well. Rory O'Brien.
Monday Waffle Zone.
Yes, Monday Waffle Zone. Hopefully he gets up tonight in the Sandover. Played every game this year. 28 possessions a game. And a Sandover medalist out last year, and he continued his good form this year. And our vice-captain would probably be Kyle Horsley, wouldn't it?
Yeah, good choices there.
Good choices. So I think although that 22 should be happy with their season, we hope you're happy with that team. Any selections that you're not happy with, just leave a comment on the Facebook page.
Yeah, tweet us all right on Facebook.
Yeah, get back to us on that. We're going to check out our grand final tips as well as the Sandover next.
It's
the
Monday
Waffle! Yeah! We are previewing the Sandover medal that's happening tonight on this Monday. It's going to be a tight race between about four or five midfielders, I think. Bonnie, let's go you first. Who's your tip?
I think you'd be mad to look past Kyle Horsley. He's averaged 26 disposals per game this year in the 18 that he's played. He came second in the 2011 Sandover medal to Luke Blackwell. And I think although he's ranked 10th, I just reckon he's underdone.
In possessions? 10th in possessions, was it?
Yeah.
Yep.
I just reckon that, you know, he's going to surprise everyone. I reckon he deserves it. He's been so consistent all year.
Look, he'd cap off a great year for him.
Yeah.
Coming back from the knee reco from the Gold Coast, missing the first few games. I think that's what could hinder him.
Yeah.
And like George Hampson may take a few votes off him, but I think it's a very good pick. Jack, who is your tip for tonight?
I am picking West Perth's very own son, Shane Nelson. I've been with him all season. And I just...
It's a beautiful romance.
Horsley is going to be great competition. I think, you know, he's been super consistent. But my boy Shane...
Led the league in disposals this year, 31 a game.
Yep, loving it. So,
do you think their win-loss record may hinder him?
Look, one man doesn't make up a team, Stampy. I think, you know, one man can lead a charge, but it's all about your support network. And I think he's done enough to maybe get him over the line.
Words of wisdom from Jack.
You guys pull out these cooked sentences.
No, good call, good call. I think he's going to poll pretty well. Katie, let's just get this out of the way. It's going to be an East Perth player.
It's not, actually. I'm
Whoa.
Going
there. Sorry, someone call the ambulance. I'm about to have a heart attack.
I'm going a three-way tie. Luke Blackwell, Kyle Horsley, and Rory O'Brien.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
Imagine
Why?
If that actually happens.
Yeah, I know. Why the three-way?
Because I think it's too hard to split them. They've all been that good this year. And my roughie, if we can have a roughie, is Craig Wolfe. If I can have two, it's Stephen Payne.
So. Well, sorry, big greedy, that's five.
Sorry, yeah, five. We asked for one.
If you can have 22, it's the East Perth team, isn't it?
Yep.
And how about you, Stampy?
Alrighty, I'm going Rory O'Brien, back-to-back, Sandover medals. He's played 22 games, four more than Horsley, three more than Blackwell, and he's had 10 30-plus games disposals. And, you know, a good season for East Fremantle, made the preliminary final, and he gets the votes from the umpires. Mm. But the thing that may hinder him... is Dalziel having a really good season. Brock O'Brien, Brett Peake, Mark McGough. That's the only hindrance there. But I did like Blackwell early in, like later towards the end of the season. I was going on about him. So I could even go a tie. O'Brien and Blackwell.
Would it fly though, do you reckon? How plausible is a tie, whether it be a two-way or a three-way tie?
Oh, look, I think it's possible. I think this is the year that it might happen.
I can't remember the last time it happened,
no.
But...
All the rules going out the door. I mean, next season we've got a five-team finals. What's next?
No, a new Monday Waffle. Yeah. Hayden Schloyth will poll well as well. But is he a roughie? Ashton Ham, is he a roughie?
Yeah.
I think they'll poll really well as well. So we're going O'Brien, Blackwell, Horsley, Nelson. A few big names there.
Watch the space.
You heard it first.
It's going to be a midfielder. If it's not a midfielder, we'll be shocked, won't we?
Yes.
We'll find out tonight.
Alrighty. Now let's get on to the grand final. That's the big game. The game that we've all been waiting for this season. East Perth, Subiaco. Who are we going, guys?
Game on.
Subi.
Subi?
Subi.
Ooh.
Why?
Underdogs, mate. Love them.
Whoa, yeah, nice.
I remember playing Auskick, little under sevens for Subi, and I'm still there with them.
Alrighty, how much by?
Subi by 7 points.
Interesting. Whoa. East Perth will be wanting to make up for the grand final loss last year, Katie. 49-point loss to the Falcons. Can they overcome that deficit?
I hope so. I really do.
What will you do if they lose?
Well, there's not much you can do, is there? I don't know. But it won't be very enjoyable.
Will you defect to another sport?
Of course not, no.
Just stick by the
rules. We're backing them up for next year.
I like East Perth. I like them to bounce back from last year. They've been the best team all year. They've got the best players, I think. And they've got 11 players that have had grand final experience. 10 of those from last year. But Subi do have 9 as well. So that's based on their teams from this weekend. Yeah, East Perth for me. By about 17, I think, points.
Ooh, I was going to say East Perth by 13. So I might do that. Hopefully it's less. Hopefully it's not 15, because then we'll have to share the pride.
And I was going to take the lead of Jack. I'm saying East Perth by 7 points.
How about the Simpson medalist? Best on ground. Brendan Lee had 37 last year in the grand final. I reckon he'll take it out.
Yeah, I was going to say him, or it'd be nice to see Craig Wolf.
Callum Sinclair, maybe?
Could get there, maybe.
Last ruckman was Ryan Turnbull winning it.
Mm.
Should we just go with Horsley again? Should I just stick with the theme?
So it's myself, Katie and Bonnie going for East Perth. Jack's the outlier going for Subiaco. We will have the results next week and we'll hopefully have one of the players from the winning grand final team. That's it for this week's Monday Waffle. And we'll have, as I said, the winner of the grand final next week for our last episode, guys.
Last episode.
It's a bit of a shame.
Keep kicking goals.